Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Game plan this morning is to try and finish up the bike so we can ride it this afternoon. You know, I decided to give Pooley another chance out here, but I'm going to work with him just to make sure he doesn't screw anything up.
I need the spacers and the something about rubber washers.
Okay. You know which washers he's talking about?
You could use 3/8 rubber washers. They're a little easier to work with.
Okay.
I know how to do this. Thank you.
You do?
We don't need
your help.
All
right. Then when you ask a million questions, I'm not answering any, okay?
And when you ask me a million questions, I'm not going to answer them. Just remember, I taught you everything you know.
Thank God that's not the truth.
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, sure, boy. It's the Don and Mike Show, boy.
Sure.
It's funny, right?
Sure.
Why men's rooms?
That was funny.
Thank you.
You need cool.
I watched the second episode of American Chopper for the new season. Someone called us yesterday and said that Cody, who we had theorized maybe Paul Jr.'s illegitimate son, was not on the show, but at least on the new episode last night, he was there.
He was. Right.
He was
right.
Part of the build on that corn bike.
I saw the little TV guide thing for it. It said tension in the shop. What was the tension in the shop?
It was just, as usual.
They were fighting with each other?
They couldn't get the bike made. Hold on, Mike. We have a beautiful lady on the line.
All right. Very good.
Let's say hello to Mrs. Howard Bernstein.
Helene. Helene, are you there?
Hello. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's wonderful to talk with you.
Oh, thanks.
Did you get a chance to listen to your husband's appearance on our show?
Most of it. I was getting our son from the bus stop.
Oh, yes. Doing the family experience.
Tell me something. Are you like me? Do you wish for more from Howard from his career?
No, I'm happy.
Don't you think he could be like the king of Minneapolis, though?
Why would I want to go to Minneapolis?
Howard likes the weather there.
Yeah, well.
So you're content?
Okay.
Are you? I mean, that's a question, I guess. You're content with Howard. We were trying to jumpstart his career on our radio show today.
If he's happy, I'm happy.
We think he should, one of a few things should happen here. He should either find some way to sabotage the career of Topper Shut. He should actually increase the speed at which Bob Ryan dies, or he should move to Minneapolis.
Or you got to move. And that is also a dynamite picture of you on the beach that Howard carries.
Lovely, lovely photograph.
When he does that.
Well, he's proud. There's nothing wrong with pride,
don't
right?
Don't be embarrassed.
Well, he's kind of like a 15-year-old sometimes.
That's why he fit in so well here.
Is he like a 15-year-old in bed?
He's wonderful.
He's wonderful.
Does he do it for you every time?
All right. It's been real good talking to you.
All right. Nice talking to you too, man.
Take care.
Time is up.
Bye-bye.
Bye!
Howard, sorry you don't do it every
sorry
time.
About that. That's a no. That's a no as far as we're concerned.
Howard Bernstein doesn't get a job done
every
time. Oh,
boy, that's a shame. That is truly a shame. Well, what with his work hours and stuff,
sure,
he's exhausted.
Grueling.
I'm sure he's like most men, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's satisfied every time.
Well, and, I think we've determined on this show over the years that even if a woman says you satisfy her every time, she's really not satisfied.
That answer is false.
about the woman saying that she was satisfied.
Yeah, if a woman says she's satisfied, you get the false. Men not satisfying their women 90% of the time, that answer is true.
I just walked Howard out. You know what he has in his coat?
What's that?
A wind meter. Showed it to me.
Really?
Very cool, yeah.
Wow. So he can tell where the fronts are coming
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
Like were you putting up meter? A front in front of him?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. A front good. Of being pleasant.
Yes, as we all do.
We got a note here from Jim Nance.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder friends,
hey guys.
Seriously, send me an email. Please plug Super Bowl's greatest commercials.
When the hell is that going to be on?
8 to 9 tomorrow night on CBS.
Tomorrow night.
Remember,
a week before the big game.
Mm-hmm. It's won the night every night it's been on.
Absolutely.
So they go back and show us commercials, and then they break for real commercials.
It's him and Daisy Fuentes, remember?
Is it an hour or a half an hour show?
It's an hour, Mike.
An hour. So it'll be a solid hour of nothing but commercials.
That's right. Hi, friends.
Friends, we've got some of the great, most hysterical, trailblazing commercials.
This weekend, no football on, and that means this weekend, all plans, all signs point towards, the indications are, that the Christmas decorations are coming down.
I didn't mention this to you when you were talking about it, but right after the holiday when I got back, I took all the decorations off my tree, took the little candles out of the window, and took and everything's in the hallway. But my outside stuff, while it hasn't been plugged in, is still hanging on the bushes, and my little Santa and reindeer are out in the front yard, and I'll be doing that also.
Yeah, but that's not as bad as me. We've got...
You got everything up now.
I mean, and Janet still lights the tree every night and lights the tree on the front porch, and we still have the big Santa with the moving hand out front.
We've well overdue.
We've got the wreaths up, and we've got...
Coming up on February.
There's a snowman cookie jar, and there's snow globes. And
so everything coming down this weekend?
We still have the sign that says counting down days to Christmas, except now she started it over... So it's like 300 and whatever it is, 20 days until Christmas. I think if she has her way, she would like for the decorations to be up all the time.
This weekend, I will be taking everything down, putting out fresh flowers, and putting the sign up on the door that says, Welcome to Spring.
Uh-huh. Howard Bernstein told me he doesn't have any Christmas decorations up.
What?
Why? I guess he must have them down already. I didn't follow. Yeah, I should have asked more questions.
Did you get that information when you were putting up your front?
I did.
Your pleasant front.
Anyway, that's the game plan for this weekend. What an exciting weekend it is. No football, no nothing.
You seem to have that early post-football depression setting in, you know, where you're kind of bummed. And, you know, the Packers probably would have gotten you through that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they would have had enough pregame hype on the weekend to get you through that.
And now, we, in a weird way, because there's so much anti-Patriot sentiment, I am like a goddamn pendulum on a clock. It's like, okay, I'll root for the Giants. No, hold on. I'll root for the Patriots. And now I'm back to rooting for the Patriots again.
Yeah, my mom blew me out of the water last night when she said she
I thought we weren't going to mention that your mom talks about oral.
I just can't help myself. She said this, and you know, it's amazing. This is a woman. This is why
You're
women.
Goddamn right. Mike.
This is why women should not be involved in rooting for sports teams. So she said, I was blown away by this. She said to me, "So are you excited about the big game? And you know, go Patriots."
Your mom said that.
Now, how long ago did my old man go to the happy hunting ground? How long did he pass?
20 years ago.
What? I said, Mom, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that we,
Your mom is allowed to enjoy the company of other football teams?
That's ridiculous. Has she no memory? I mean, more than me, my dad was, you know, every single Sunday from Yankee Stadium to Yale Bowl to the Meadowlands. It was Mike, Giants,
maybe.
Giants. My dad may at one time, and I've never told you this, my dad may have been a bigger Giants fan than he was a Red Sox fan, and she just all of a sudden it's all forgotten.
Thinking for herself.
Have you thought that maybe her gardening buddy or whatever his name is, maybe... Maybe he's a Patriots fan?
Here's the deal. Where we live, you know where we live. We're right in the middle of the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got that New York, New England thing going on in Hartford, Connecticut all the time.
What I'm saying is...
But, God, have you not remembered?
How do you know when your mom goes in and she's got that guy that rubs between her toes, like in that commercial, that guy's not a huge New England Patriots fan?
Are you saying that some of the caretakers, some of the gardeners, some of the handymen...
Some of the lovers...
The guy, not really possible at 87, but the fact that she's...
So says you.
About as possible as Zsa Zsa, no?
As long as your mom is discussing oral on the phone with you...
Right.
She's still got it going on.
Yes, it was in a political context. So I was hurt. I was very hurt, and I told her, you know, I didn't give her a complete scolding on the phone, but the fact is I was really disappointed. I said, do you have any memory? And she kind of said... Yeah, you're right. Well, I just think that they're an interesting story. No, she said this. She said, well, don't you think it's an interesting story that they're going to go undefeated? And I was like, oh, you forgot. No, I don't get it.
Speaking of feet, Michael, that wonderful man Pedro that rubs my feet, he likes the Patriots.
Why is the hotline ringing? Thank God.
BJ.
I have no idea.
Yes, hello.
Who is it?
Yes, Lyle has passed away. I'm sorry.
Lyle?
Yeah. Lyle passed away.
Somebody calling for Lyle Alzado?
Lyle Waggoner?
Yes. What
has Lyle Waggoner passed away?
No.
Someone's asking for Lyle.
Anyway.
No. That Lyle is dead. Thank you.
Rob loves doing this with the wrong numbers. Uh-huh. He loves just telling whoever they're calling for that the person is dead.
Passed away. No longer with us.
That's kind of our joke. And when they call back, Rob will be even more agitated to say, I'm going through a very tough time. Didn't I already tell you that Lyle is dead?
The next call is, can't you call later? I'm going through Lyle's things.
Who is Lyle?
I don't know. She's looking for Lyle.
This is the wrong number.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
A wrong number.
Okay, no problem.
Listen, we got some tapes to listen to here. We've got that great douchebag from Faux News, John Gibson. Now, very rarely do I say that someone in broadcasting should be canned for something that they've done, because it's a live microphone and anything can happen, right. Like with Stupid Imus or with that chick from the Golf Channel.
Right.
But listen to this guy from Fox News, who's kind of a load anyway, John Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is right away. This is getting a lot of play. Right after Heath Ledger died.
Well, since we're going to be working together, I reckon it's time we start drinking again.
You don't go out there and finish me.
You don't know nothing about it.
Boys, you sure found a way to make the town pass up, dear.
We was fishing buddies.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Well, he found out how to quit you. Christine, don't be upset. Hi, everybody. It's John Gibson.
I'm very upset.
Yeah. Actor Heath Ledger found dead today in his New York City apartment, face down in the bedroom, surrounded by prescription drugs. Listen, November 07... He was talking about, and this is a 28-year-old guy, saying, well, you know, it's a whole, give me a whole different thought about death. What? You're 28 years old and you're thinking about death? Give me a break.
Maybe he was a deep thinker.
Maybe he was a weirdo.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Okay, anyway, Heath Ledger died, and I'm sure people will be upset. All you Brokeback Mountain fans, you want to give Christine a call, she'll be happy to talk to you.
We're dead.
We're dead.
We're dead.
No, it's a terrible thing. I mean, you know.
So the guy's on TV
playing
sound clips like we do. He picks up the one that says, so you see it on the screen where he says, I'm dead. We're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is, I wish I knew how to quit you. The guy's
is that TV or radio?
TV.
It was radio.
Fox News Channel.
No, the guy's on TV, and it's like he's doing a shock radio show.
It is like that.
On the Fox News Channel.
And it's all because of the whole Brokeback Mountain thing. Right? And, I get the homophobe undertones with the whole thing.
Yeah, the reason that I got the red ass about this is because, unlike Imus or unlike even that golf lady, no matter what you say about Fox, they're trying to present news.
Right.
It's supposed to be news. When you turn on the news and someone dies, you don't expect to go, hey, he's dead. Hey, Heath Ledger was found dead.
Homo.
Yeah, what a faggot he was.
What is he, a faggot?
I mean, you expect...
He's kind of horning in on our territory, isn't he?
Yes, Mike, you expect
that. I mean, we are the bottom feeders, and we are not held to the same high standard of the Fox, of a major network news channel. Mm-hmm.
We didn't go there.
No, we really didn't.
No, you didn't.
We didn't.
He did.
My guest is Tom Sullivan. Tom, so...
I thought I was coming in to talk about Keith Bledger.
Yeah, well.
I'm a Keith Bledger expert.
Well.
And again, this is all the night the dude died.
Same day. Yeah.
Right. Did I get that?
Maybe he had a serious position in the market.
Yeah, possibly, and today he looked at the window
and said, oh, my God. Oh,
his name's not Keith Bledger, is that right?
I mean, he was depressed about yesterday's down.
Listen, if you got to try that, try to be funny.
Yeah, and here's the deal. That is the land of our you know, radio brothers and what we do. That's the bottom scraping where we all pretend.
You don't do that when you're a pretend newsman on Fox.
No, you don't do that when you're coming from when you call yourself a legitimate news show.
Bernstein wouldn't do that.
No, he would not.
Downturn in the world stock market.
John, how you doing, buddy? I hope your old cough gets a little bit better.
Thank you very much. I am going to... keep it from you because my colleagues here say it's so disgusting.
Well, you know, I work in the hospital. We can give you some for that. Listen, John,
I don't want a Heath Ledger situation going on here.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to sleep yet.
Well, it is John Gibson. You know, there's new news coming out right now that apparently Heath Ledger was suicidal and his friend saw it coming. I think he watched the Clinton-Obama debate last night.
Ugh.
I think he was an Edwards guy.
Way to tie it all up.
Because he saw his Edwards guy was
nice, see him
completely
get on message
irrelevant.
Again.
Good looking, wears a suit well, but should just leave the stage.
Snowing like a douchebag in there.
What did he say, should just leave the stage?
You're talking about Edwards, yeah.
Looks good. Okay.
So anyway, he does all this, and he gets some flack, and he says, I'm not going to apologize. And well, then today, of course, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. He's so sorry.
I don't know.
Do we have the apology?
He's no, not that sorry.
No, it's a print
love to
apology.
Hear the tone of the apology.
Yeah, it's and, not that good.
Then on the other hand, you've got poor Imus. You know,
can't win for losing.
The guy cannot do one friggin' thing right. He's back on the radio, and now somebody's suing him for a commercial he did when he still worked for CBS.
Okay.
Now it's a live read, and Mike, you and I know this. If you buy a live read on a personality radio show, unless you say read, copy, verbatim.
Right.
Why else are you paying a guy $500, $1,000 to read your commercial?
No, and really one of the prime directives for all of these that we've gotten over the years is, they say this, is the quote, have fun with it.
All right.
Yeah. Have fun with it and ad lib. That is really the stage direction you get when you're talking about doing live commercials.
So he's doing a spot for the book about Gerald Ford. And here is what I miss said.
How would you like to own a genuine piece of American history? This seems a little cheesy to me, but late President Gerald R. Ford hand-signed 3,000 copies of his final book. Obviously, these bastards have been waiting for him to croak so they could unload these. This book is John F. Kennedy's report on the Warren Commission. Ford was the last surviving member of the commission. Longest living American president, the only president to serve without being elected. Well, except for George Bush. The number of copies available gets smaller every day.
That's really wrong with you.
Get yours now before it's too late.
Some anyway.
Sell for thousands of dollars. Now you can get your own personal copy. Log on to Flat Sign.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
They're suing him for $4 million.
For saying they were just waiting for him to die. These bastards are just waiting for him to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you're dealing with that kind of lawsuit, I think what you're speaking about primarily, they've got, is it going to get noticed? And if I'd heard that and I was the kind of collector that would want something, none of what he said did anything to dissuade me from going out and getting that product,
buying.
And that's
correct.
What he's paid
right.
to do.
Right. Correct.
He's paid to be irreverent. He's paid to be provocative. Yeah. And he says something, and I don't think it affected the
message. I'm sorry I did that.
Oh, boy.
You're always sorry. You're always
I'm sorry I did that.
Where's Imus doing his show? Is he doing from the Cow Palace now? Is that? I mean,
it sounded like he was down in here.
I don't know. It's just, what's wrong with this country again? You know, you got the one guy on Fox who really, if anybody should be taken out of the water, should have his wee-wee smacked. It's that guy.
Right.
Meanwhile, you got Imus making an offhanded comment about a dead dude and a book that was out a year ago, and Imus is having his nuts held over the fire again.
Right,
exactly.
And the guy on Fox News, meanwhile, that big bloated load, he still is on there just going,
that's what he does. Yes.
What's wrong with this picture?
Something's very wrong.
I don't know. These bastards. Incredible, yeah. Tough guy.
Yeah, and they want, you know, they want to be on the show, but they don't want that.
Right.
So, yeah,
and what stinks like yesterday's bad diaper, with this Imus thing, if you were so bothered about this, why did you do something when the goddamn commercial ran before he said the thing about nappy-headed hoes?
Mm-hmm.
That's how long ago the commercial is.
Maybe they were delighted that he was back on the air so they can take a run at him now.
He's vulnerable.
That's exactly what they're waiting for.
I guess so. And while everyone out there is thinking about money and recession, and, and you know, we're talking about Imus being sued for millions, and I think you would like to know that Shaquille O'Neal has got a tough time with money. Mike, he's going through a divorce.
Oh, dear. I can certainly relate to that.
I loved giving you these stats.
Okay.
According to depositions and documents.
Yes.
In Shaq's divorce, he spends, for himself, $110,000 a month. Shaq spends $24,000 a month on gasoline.
Wow. Wait a minute.
He spends
24 grand for gas.
Lives in his car.
He spends $22,000 a month on maid service.
Okay, that's way out of line.
He spends $17,000 a month on clothes.
Okay.
$6,000 a month on dry cleaning.
Sure.
$12,000 on food. And here's the one that I don't get. He spends $1,500 a month on cable TV.
That's a lot of pay-per-view.
How much porn?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got that elite package.
Oh, the platinum package?
The platinum package you talked about, you know, where you get everything.
Mm-hmm. How much did he spend on gas?
$24,300 a year, according to
A year or a month?
A year, according to court documents. A year.
$24,000 a year.
Wait, a month.
A month.
A month. Oh, all right. Okay, a year is not, you know.
I'm stupid. A month.
Just for fun, let's round that down to $24,000.
Yeah, I really want
you to
do the math.
Let's say gas is $3 a gallon. That's pretty average right
now.
Yeah,
right.
8,000 gallons of gas a month, 30 days in a month, right?
Right.
It's about 260 gallons of gas a day.
Wow.
That's a lot of gas.
And that's a tank. That's a full tank.
He must buy gas for all his people.
That answer is true. You know
so that's what? A tank. So that is a guy. Wait a minute. What it is? Could it be like
That's like filling up a Tahoe.
It's he's got chauffeur driven all over the
it's
place.
It's got to be his posse. It's got to be
his chauffeur.
His turtle and drama.
Yeah, right. Because they're driving everywhere. The cars are waiting for them. They're right. Going to pick other people up.
SUVs.
That's a tank a day.
Mm-hmm. But 10 tanks a day.
Oh, you're right. 10 tanks a day.
Shaq's a big guy.
Half dozen people.
He's got a lot going on. Yeah.
Well, wait. No, wait a minute. How much did you say it worked out?
260 gallons a day.
260 gallons
so
a day.
So 26 gallons. I think a GM tank is usually
oh, that's right.
About
you're saying
that
20. You're
all right, Rob. What if he gets really bad gas mileage?
See, I was thinking miles. I was thinking 260 miles. No, you're talking
gallons.
About
gallons.
What if he gets only 5 miles a gallon?
Right?
If he got only 5 miles a gallon.
He's driving about 1,300 miles a day.
Yeah, but his posse rides. They don't ride in a limo. They ride in a Kenworth truck.
Could that count like a helicopter or a plane?
It might be plane fuel, too, but I don't think so.
Gasoline. Maybe. Uh-huh. How does he heat his house?
Mm-hmm. What about the maid service? That's $22,000 a month for a maid, Jack.
Depends on what the maids
Jesus.
Do. Why?
It's the same.
You're always thinking in that gutter, aren't
what?
You?
What?
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's true. That.
That's
we can all dream.
That's too much gasoline.
So is this put out there for the purposes of the lady? The
yes.
M'lady wants the everybody
yes.
to know how much
M'lady
spends,
wants to know how much her man, Shaq,
so she can justify what she's going to ask
he
for.
Has
that answer is true.
Understood, Shaq. Good luck, Shaq. Hope you keep all of it.
That's
luck.
Quite a carbon footprint.
That's a lot of
that's
gasoline.
That's a Bigfoot footprint.
That
isn't
is
it?
Bigger than his actual footprint.
You know what they say about guys with big carbon footprints?
What do they say about him, bud?
They have big carbon feet.
Hey, there you go.
Carbon.
He's got a giant carbon footprint. A long, very long, thick carbon footprint.
I know, Albania. That's what we'll do next. Albania. Hi, everybody. This is Albania.
But we're actually going to call the real place.
And stand by. I have my friend Al Obama with us.
Al Obama.
Al Obama.
Rock's brother, isn't it?
Al Obama. That's wouldn't it be funny. Great if he did have a relative known as Al?
Al
Obama.
And, of course, he would have to talk, you know, hello, this am Al Obama.
Al Obama.
I am like the black Billy Carter.
I'm, he doesn't know that I'm his brother, but I really am his brother. I'm Al Obama.
I'm the brother that he don't want you to know about.
And he'd have to pronounce it Obama, too. It could not be. Al Obama.
And the plot would be just like that movie that you want to see with Martin Lawrence
and Cedric the Entertainer.
That's
and
right.
James Earl Jones. That boy just ain't right.
And his brother, Obama's brother, would be like Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric the Entertainer. And they'd have a big fight and break the coffee
he'd
table.
Come back and go, so, Mr. Gonna Run for President, let's see if you can hit this. See if you hit Mama in the head with this.
And Barack would say, you've cost me the election. You have cost me the election. Hey, I'm Al Obama. And then a big fight ensues. And then they play softball and they hit Mrs. Obama in the head and she gets a big welt.
You felt me mama wig fall off.
Yeah. And then James Earl Jones sits in bed and goes, that boy just ain't right.
And what does Obama say?
I'm really, really, really disappointed with you. I'm working on it. I'm tweaking it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Getting ready.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Shaq's got a helicopter.
Oh, of course he does. He's Shaq.
It's got to be airline fuel. It's got to be airplane fuel.
He's probably got his own jet. Who are we kidding, right? Hey, Shaq, please get
in. And when you talk about jet fuel and helicopter fuel, you're talking about a whole nother level.
Shaq-a-copter.
Mm-hmm. A Shaq-copter. Big, big, whirly bird shaped like a sneaker.
Shaq-a-mole.
And plus his law enforcement cars that he's got,
sure,
right?
That's right.
His sheriff's car. Isn't he a deputy?
He is.
Yeah. He's a certified deputy sheriff.
Dade County or Miami, something like that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Sorry to say, but, you know, John Gibson started in Sacramento. Continue in Barrett.
Everything bad starts in Sacramento,
explains
doesn't
so
it?
Much.
It's terrible to be associated with it.
John Gibson looks like a guy that probably got his ass kicked routinely when he was going through middle America. Good afternoon,
Sacramento. Stop. Shut up.
Shut up.
Good afternoon, Sacramento.
Yuck.
Here's what we have for you today.
John Gibson the Maine looks like the loser in the who can be the more faggy Philip Seymour Hoffman contest.
Yeah, he's got that pasty, like, you know, doughy, you know, kind of countenance. Yeah.
You know when that guy was Truman Capote?
Right.
It's like they said, okay, we need someone pastier, faggier,
mm-hmm.
with less of a backbone.
Yeah.
John Gibson, you got it.
He just can't act. That's the only reason he didn't get the role.
Although I sure do like that Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's a good actor.
He was good in Charlie Wilson's War. He got nominated, right?
He was nominated. So, yeah. He's the Best Supporting Actor nominee.
He's pretty good in that mm-hmm. movie. Pretty good.
But you did not like Charlie Wilson's War.
I know I didn't, but I keep talking about it.
And Tom Hanks, you know what he's done? His son now. Yes. Have you seen his
Colin.
Son?
Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks is
Colin
now
Hanks.
Entering the world of film.
Oh, Colin Hanks.
He's already been in a
la. What's that?
He's already been in a blockbuster.
What?
He was in King Kong.
What did he do in King Kong?
Jack Black's assistant in King Kong.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, and he was, what was that, Orange County?
Who watches King Kong by
you know what,
besides
Rob?
Somebody who just buys a high-def DVD player?
If you just get an HD DVD player done, your options
it comes
are
for
limited.
Free with it.
Yes.
Was that kind of under the radar, though? I mean, I know his name comes out there, but they didn't make the big deal they're making about this latest. You know, you're seeing him out and about with his father, and I don't know. It's a strange
and
thing.
And kissing his father.
Yes. On the lips, open mouthed.
I mean, it doesn't bother me, but there are those that think it's taboo.
Are offended, mm-hmm. Yes.
Taboo.
The Hanks family.
The Hanks kiss.
Thanks for the memories. We got a break. We're running late. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.